The topic that I want to focus on this morning is repetition. Repetition in our life, how we need to be repeating after Jesus in our lives. You know, as I think about life, it is one long repetition. We do things over and over again. I was in Washington, D.C. last year and went to the Roosevelt Memorial, and there at the entrance of his memorial is a little statue of Roosevelt's little Scottish Terrier dog, if you've ever been there. And the dog is down on the level of about 2 or 3 feet where any child or any person can come up and rub the dog's nose. And the dog is black iron, black metal, but over the 30, 40 years that memorial has been there, people have come and rubbed that dog's nose, and that dark metal has been worn down to a bright brass. And you can see how through repetition of people just going and petting the dog on the nose, that dog has changed colors. And you're familiar with that in other venues, I'm sure. But it highlights how life repeats itself. People pet the same little dog. People do the same thing. In life, we do the same thing over and over again. And I want to talk about why that's important from a spiritual perspective this morning. If you're like me, you roll out of bed and you think, what day is this? Oh, I know what I'm going to do today. You get up and you remember, oh, okay, that's what I'm going to do. It's a repetition of things that we've done before. We go up, we have a routine, we call it. We brush our teeth, maybe. We go to the store. We go to work. We fix dinner. And there are minor variations. But like the variations in a snowflake, you really don't see the variations. It all looks pretty much the same. One day looks pretty much like the rest. That's true in our life. We repeat ourselves. Life is repetitive. That describes a Christian's life as well. Christians' lives are repetitive. Now, there are unique moments of commitment, to be sure, times in which we set out to be a Christian. We begin in faith. We come to faith. And we confess of our sins, and we repent of our sins, and we are baptized. Those are one-time events, if it's done truly. But much of our life, as the people of God, is more or less a consistent repetition of things that we do over and over again. Similar thoughts, similar feelings, similar actions. You recognize that in your life, I imagine, if you're old enough. And this morning, I want to remind us how important it is that we repeat ourselves in a way that follows Jesus. We're going to be repeating something. We need to be repeating what Jesus did and said. I want to focus here in Mark chapter 14 as a way of focusing on how we should be repeating Jesus in our life. And in Mark 14, verses 32 through 42, we have an account of one of the final lessons that Jesus gives his disciples before he is crucified. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, we see a basic lesson that I want us to remember this morning. And that is that repeated action is necessary in order to follow Jesus. We need to be repeating certain things in our life if we're going to follow Jesus. And the garden shows us that. Will you read with me here these 11 verses, Mark chapter 11, verses 32 down through 42. And they went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." And going a little further, he fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." And he came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he came away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and he did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough.
The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. My betrayer is at hand. You notice what's going on in those verses? There is some repeated action. You notice that? There's at least three types of repetition. I'm going to focus on some of these with you this morning. First of all, notice that the disciples, the apostles here, the Peter, James, and John, they are repeating themselves. They're getting sleepy. They're tired. The Bible says that their eyes had grown weary. And their repeated weariness, their tiredness, their sleepiness is something I imagine you and I can relate to. Sometimes even in services, sometimes when I'm sitting in the pews and listening to someone preach like I'm doing now, I want to be paying attention. But I'm so tired. And I start to nod. I know none of you have done that. I'm confessing on myself. But we all know what it is to be sleepy and to need to go to sleep. That's just a repeated thing in our life. Most every day that happens. And that's a kind of a symbol, it points to something that's true in our life, that we have these repeated actions that just recur time and time again. I want you to think about that. How much of your life is given over to doing the same thing? If I was to ask you who still work, what do? You'd probably tell me the things you repeatedly do during the day. I haul this, or I write this, I calculate this. You tell me what you repeat. And even you who are retired, if I ask you, what do? You're going to tell me, well, the kind of the habits of your life, the rhythms that you're in. We all have them. And the older that you get, the deeper you realize those rhythms, those habits are. You're in those. That's what's happening here to the apostles. They have a rhythm, a habit, a repetition of life. And really, it's about what they need. It's not so much that it's selfish, it's just self-serving. They need to go to sleep. And most of our repetitions, most of our habits are like that. We just need to take care of ourselves. We need to cook. We need to eat. We need to work. We need to shop. We need to clean. We need to sleep. Some of us need to worry. These are just kind of habits in our life. And you know what Peter and James and John are going through here in Mark 14. And so this is just describing our life. And the Garden of Gethsemane episode here is describing a situation which we can all appreciate. And throughout the Bible, Scripture talks about these repetitions of life and how things just kind of recur time and time again. One of the great passages that describes this is over in Ecclesiastes 1. Would you take a minute to read with me a few verses from Ecclesiastes 1? And the preacher there in Ecclesiastes 1, the Old Testament, talks about how things just repeat themselves. Ecclesiastes 1, we'll just pick out verses 5 through 10 for time this morning. The preacher sees life as cycles that recur time and time again, and he begins the chapter by saying those things are vanity. There's an emptiness to it oftentimes that we just continue to do the same things. And he notices how that repetitiveness is rooted even in our world and the universe we live in. You know, the sun rises, the wind blows, all these things repeat. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 5, the sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rises. The wind blows to the south and goes round to the north. Around and around goes the wind, and on the circuits the winds return. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To the place where the stream flow, there they flow again. All things are full of weariness. A man can't utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done. There's nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it can be said, see, this is new? It's been already in the ages before it. Well, that's kind of depressing. No, I think the Ecclesiastes writer is telling us how things are, because he's going to go on to say that there are some things that really matter in life, in service to God. But he's calling them like he sees them, balls and strikes. He's saying, look, these things happen over and over again in our life. We just keep on doing the same thing. And life is full of rhythms and habits. And this sleepy moment in Mark 14 was a time for the disciples when they just needed to sleep. But the problem is they needed to do different than they normally did. They needed to take those repetitions, those rhythms of life, and use it in a different way. They were sleepy, but Jesus says here in verse 32 and in verse 33, he says, look, sit. And then he says in verse 33, 34, he says, you need to watch. You need to stay awake. And so the disciples needed to have a spiritual priority. Their bodies, Jesus says here down in verse 38, their bodies were weak. They're sleepy. But they needed to have a spiritual priority that was stronger, that acted to obey Jesus. They needed to watch for danger. You know, Jesus is about to be arrested. There's a lot of danger out there. And Jesus said, you need to be watching and praying. And but they are stuck in their rut, their rhythm. They fall asleep, and like us, they grew weary. You know what? I can relate to Peter and James and John. I know what it is to get tired. You do too. Every one of us here have gotten tired, and we've gotten tired at moments when we shouldn't. You know, I was studying for an exam one time, and I needed to stay up, and I fell asleep, and I did very poorly on that exam. And you all had those moments in your life where you just got so tired you didn't do what you needed to do. And that's true in our spiritual lives, too. Here in Mark and elsewhere in the epistles, the Bible tells us, you know what? Don't get weary. I know you're tired. I know you're tired, but don't let it happen. Wake up. Wake up. We need to take our spiritual caffeine, as it were, and work more for the Lord. There are a number of passages that talk about this. I just want to look at one this morning and focus on that just for a moment, and then we'll come back to Mark 14. Turn over to Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. And the idea in this passage and others, like 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13, and 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, and there are many others where Paul particularly says, I know, Christians, that you've gotten tired. Maybe you're old and you're just worn out. Maybe you're young and you're just sick of it. Whatever it is, you just don't have it in you to do what God wants you to do right now. And Paul says, look, don't fall asleep. Don't get weary. He says it over here in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. He says, he includes himself, because he knows what it's like. He says, let us not grow weary. But notice what he says, of doing good. He says, don't grow weary of doing good. And he gives the reason, for in due season we will reap if we don't give up. He says this elsewhere in his letters. He says, I know you're tired, but don't grow weary. Don't give up, because it's not for nothing. It's not in vain, as the Ecclesiastes writer writes. There's something you're going to get if you endure, you work hard. And so the message here is that each individual here, if there's something you're tired, you've gotten worn down, the example of the apostles in Mark chapter 14 and Paul here in Galatians chapter 6 says, you need to wake up and work harder. Endure in that. Don't grow weary. Maybe you're an individual whom you're struggling with a fear or a temptation in your life, and you've had that fear or that temptation in your life for years. And you keep praying about it, you keep working on it. Paul says, don't you grow weary. Don't you fall asleep. Don't you give up. It's not for nothing that you're fighting. Maybe you're a mother whom has all her life with her children tried to raise them and teach them what they need to do to be acceptable to God. And for some reason, they just don't get it. They're just not quite getting it. Paul says, don't you grow weary. Don't you fall asleep now. It's not in vain. Maybe you're a father who's trying to bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and you know what? You've done it so many times. You've said the same thing so many times. You've gotten upset so many times, and you're just tired of it. Paul says, don't you grow weary. You keep at it. Whatever your situation, maybe you're a Christian who has neighbors, friends, who have never been receptive to your invitation to come to worship services or to study with you. Paul says, don't you sleep on that job. Don't give up. Keep after it. And the message here is that it's not in vain, that God sees your effort, and the effort itself will bring reward, if not precisely all that you would want in this life. What keeps you awake at night? So we're told to stay awake. That's the message here. Keep working. What keeps you awake at night? Well, you can probably think of a number of things. I'll tell you for me what keeps me awake. I'm in bed, I'm laying down, everything's quiet. I hear a pop in the kitchen. Wait, what was that? Can I go to sleep? No way. I'm up for another hour at least. It could have been a gas pop and it could be water dripping. I don't go to sleep when I think I'm not alone. How about you? If you think there's somebody in the house, can you go to sleep? No way. Yeah, you're awake. That always happens when your spouse is away, or you know, that's all. You always hear those things when you think you're. If we want to stay awake, if we want to not be weary, we need to realize we're not alone. It's when we think we're alone and no one's watching, we kind of drift off in our efforts to live the right life, to help others. We need to remember we're not alone. You remember there's a number of things that the Scripture tells us to remind us we're not alone. We have two things with this. First of all, we have Satan trying to devour us. Turn with me over to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. We're studying 1 Peter in our class on Sunday mornings. We're going to come to this chapter here in two or three weeks. And Peter is someone who knew what it was to fall asleep. There he was in Mark chapter 14. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, he says, Christians, you need to be watchful. You need to wake up. Be sober-minded. And the reason is, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. The idea is that we need to stay awake, we need to stay at the peak of our effort in life, because we are not alone. We have someone waiting for our moments of weakness to pounce. When we think we just can't give it anymore, whatever that thing is, we're not going to try to persuade other people anymore, Satan will take advantage of that, seeking to devour us. Remember, you're not alone. Stay awake. Satan's with you. But more importantly and more comfortingly, we have Jesus with us. And we're promised that he will return. How many times in the Gospels does Jesus tell a parable about how people need to stay awake because the Master's coming back? You remember that? You can think of at least three or four parables. He's always talking about that. And his message is, stay awake. Stay awake because I'm coming back. You're not alone. I'm coming back. Both to judge those who do harm to you and you're having difficulty with, but also to judge you. You know, there's that story, we'll not take time to read it, in Matthew 25, verses 1 through 10, about the 10 virgins. You remember the story there? The 10 virgins in Matthew 25, verses 1 through 10. And do you remember why their candles went out? Remember what the problem was? The original problem with those 10 virgins who weren't able to go into the wedding when the bridegroom actually came, the original problem, it says in Matthew 25, is that they were drowsy. And they fell asleep. And Jesus tells that parable and he says, look, you need to be ready knowing that I'm coming. And so just as I stay awake when I hear the pop in the kitchen, we need to stay awake and work and realizing not only is Satan trying to devour us, but Jesus is returning. And those two presences in our life should keep us awake in our life. And so the challenge here in Mark chapter 14 was that the disciples, the apostles, they didn't realize Jesus was coming back. You realize Jesus kept coming back. Twice he came back. And he said, you're asleep? You'd think after the first time they'd stay awake because they knew he was going to come back. But evidently they didn't. And so they fell asleep. We need to realize Jesus is coming back. And we need to stay awake in our Christian lives. not growing weary in well-doing, persisting in doing that which we know to be right in service to God. And so in Mark chapter 14, the question is, how could the disciples change their habits? How could they change the thing that they were always doing? They were getting sleepy, and they needed to change that so that they can serve Jesus. We need to change our weariness. The thing that always happens is we all get tired, to watchfulness. That's what we're called to do. Change our weariness to watchfulness. Those things that we do all the time, how can we use those in service to Jesus? There's a contrast in Mark 14. Look at Mark 14 again with me. The contrast is between the disciples and their sleepiness and Jesus and his prayerfulness. You see that contrast, don't you? How many times does Jesus go to pray? You look at this and the other gospel accounts, Jesus goes three times. He goes three times to pray to God. Jesus repeats himself, just like the disciples do. He keeps doing and saying things, but these aren't selfish things. These aren't self-serving things like the disciples sleep. These are things that Jesus repeats in order to seek God's salvation, God's care and protection. This is not selfish repetition. This is saving repetition, a prayer that comes back to God time and time again. He prays repeatedly to God. And so we'll see as we go forward that we need the same sort of repetition in our life, coming back to God repeatedly in our prayer. Notice here in Mark chapter 14, verse 39, how he repeats himself. First of all, in verse 36, he goes and prays, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." He's petitioning God. He's praying to God for survival, for escape, that he might be able to escape the pain to come, that the suffering might be over, but that God's will be done. That's his prayer. And then we read in verse 39 that he prays with the same words. Notice that in verse 39. He came away and prayed saying the same words. And so he repeats the same words. And then in verse 41, it implies, because he comes back a third time to the apostles, that he went a third time to pray, and we see that explicitly stated in a parallel passage in Matthew chapter 26, verse 44. In Matthew 26, verse 44, it tells kind of the rest of the story, and it says that leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, and there it says again, he said the same words again. And we learn in Luke's account, in Luke 22, verses 43 through 44, that somewhere in the midst of these prayers, an angel appeared from heaven. And it says in Luke 22, verse 43, that angel strengthened him. But even with that strengthening, he was in such agony that his sweat dropped to the ground like great drops of blood. And so he strengthened, and yet and still in agony. And then back in Mark chapter 14, in our passage, we read that at the conclusion of his prayers, Jesus says in verse 41, "It's enough. It's enough." The idea here is that he's ready. He's ready to meet his betrayal. He's ready to meet the suffering. And he's ready to go to the cross. And then he says in verse 42, "Rise, let's be going." So Jesus repeats this prayer three times, and at the end of it basically says, "Okay, I'm ready. Let's go." And what are we to conclude from Jesus' prayer? What should we take from what is clearly something here that we are meant to learn from and to somehow live a life by? Well, first of all, we see that God heard Jesus' prayer. That's the first thing to note. That God heard Jesus' prayer. And in fact, as we saw from Luke's account of this, that God the Father gives the Son some relief. Not total relief. He still is in such great duress. But it was enough for Jesus
to know the Father's will and to have enough strength to serve Him. So we see that. We also see that, like Jesus, we should be repeating our prayers. We should be coming and seeking God in prayer. How do we know that? How do we know that we should have a habit of prayer that comes to God in prayer? Well, He says it. He says it in this verse. Notice in Mark chapter 14, verse 38, he makes the application to the disciples, the apostles that are with Him. He says in verse 38, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." What is Jesus saying? He says, Peter, you need to pray like me. You need to pray like me in order to be able to overcome your distress, the sorrow and the trouble. It says that Jesus had up there in verse 33 through 34. Jesus was troubled. He was distressed. He had sorrow. It's interesting to note that over in Luke chapter 22, verse 45, in the parallel passage, Luke makes mention of the fact that the reason the apostles slept was because of their sorrow. It says that. And so the very sorrow, the very suffering that led Jesus to pray, He says, I'm full of sorrow, trouble, suffering, led the apostles to sleep. And Jesus says, you need to pray like me. Don't go weary because of your troubles and your difficulties. You stay with it. You pray. And we see how that strengthened Jesus. And so Jesus tells Peter, you need to pray like me. And you know, the problem is that we grow tired. We grow weary. We have some pride in our life, and those are things that can pull us away from prayer to God. And Jesus encourages Peter here that he needs to make time for that prayer. We need to be sure that we're repeating in our life the things that draw us near to God. And the problem here, and the reason that Jesus warns him against temptation is there's a lot in this world that pulls us away from prayer and from God, that causes us to be selfishness. Let me tell you how selfish the world is and the temptation to be like it. I'll tell you, it shows you how selfish the world is that even prayer can be made selfish. You know, you think if anything is not selfish, it can be prayer. But Jesus talks about how even prayer can be selfish. That's how the world tempts us. And notice with what Jesus says about prayer over in Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 through 8. Jesus reveals that even our prayers can be tempted towards selfishness. On the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 through 8, Jesus talks about prayer, and he talks about how we need to pray often and repeatedly. But he warns us before that about how we shouldn't pray. He says, when you pray, verses 7, Matthew 6, verse 7, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. You know, in the King James Version, some of you use that. It just uses the phrase here, vain repetitions. It says, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. And I think that's an apt phrase for all the repetitive things in our life that don't honor and serve God. A lot of vain repetitions. And that's the basic message here of Mark chapter 14, is we need to be repeating things in our life that honor and serve God. Jesus goes on in Matthew chapter 6 to say, when you pray, pray like this. And the prayer he gives, what we call the Lord's Prayer, is a prayer that honors God and seeks God's will, that seeks forgiveness and deliverance. Remind yourself there of Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Jesus says there, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, Jesus never says that when we pray, we always need to pray like that. But what he's giving to us is the idea that we need to pray repeatedly like him. We need to be focused not on self-serving things, not things that are focused upon our passions, but on things like bread, daily bread, and forgiveness and deliverance that help us serve God. That's what we'd be focused on. That should be our habit. You remember the passage in James where James says, "Brothers, you ask God and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions." James says the reason you don't receive the prayers that you ask for is because you're being selfish about it. And so Jesus teaches us the key lesson, and this is the key lesson as we close here this morning. The key lesson of the Garden of Gethsemane in Mark chapter 14 is that relationship to God is repetition towards God. Doing the same thing over and over and over. And it's not just any repetition, it's a repetition of the things that Jesus taught us to do. What does that mean? Keep on watching. Keep on watching. That is to say, keep on working and keep on praying. Keep on singing. Keep on giving. Keep on gathering and confessing. All of us, we need to keep on reading Scripture. Keep on studying. Keep on sharing God's Word. And in all of these things, we're shaping our rhythms of life to follow God. You and I, you know what? We do basically the same thing each day. We wake up, we have our habits, we go to bed. What Mark 14 teaches us is the difference is do we use those same things to serve God or ourselves? That's kind of the basic question we have to ask in our life. And the key to that is to be living repetitively towards God. Let's be praying to Him regularly. When we rise, what should be our first action? When we rise, I'm not going to grumble, "Oh, Monday." Let's praise God. Let's give God that repetitive act. When we eat, nom, 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 nom. Let's thank God. Be sure we thank God. When we work, let's work serving God. That's a repetition that we do each day. When we're sorrowful, what does James tell us? Those who weep, let's pray to God. Let's seek God's help. When we're cheerful, what should we do? Let's sing. Let's sing to God. These are all parts of our life. You know it each day. When we share a conversation with somebody, friend, family, let's witness to God. Let's point them to God. These are things that we can shape our lives by. When we sin, we repent to God. You see? Each thing in our life we shape towards God. When we plan for tomorrow, we confess our dependence upon God. And we anticipate His coming. So following after God means repeating after Jesus. This morning I pray that you will follow Jesus in faith. Jesus shows us how to have faith in God. Everything He did was in service to the Father. And this morning in your life, the question is will you trust in Jesus? Do as He did. Trust in God. Follow Him in that. And the question is will you, having committed sin, unlike Jesus, will you die to this world by putting Him on in baptism? That's a matter of following Jesus in this life, dying to the world. Will you repeat what He did? And will you become a child of God, washed of your sins, ready to live this wonderful life that He's given us to live, repeating time and time again what are good works? My prayer is you might respond this morning to Christ's invitation while we stand and while we sing.